Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury, and he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have made all their offerings from their surplus wealth. She, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In this last week of the liturgical year, the church gives us this scene of the generous widow at the end of St. Luke's Gospel. This is meant to be the way we live the kingdom. This is the way we respond here in the United States to God's generosity, for which we say thanks at Thanksgiving time. I like to call it the spirituality of the second lepton. The way giving money worked in the temple is there was an upside-down tuba, and the currency was all coins. And so when rich people would make their contribution, they'd just put a bunch of coins into the top of that upside-down funnel, and it would spin down into a lockbox underneath the ground, which would accumulate all the gifts. And when rich people would give their donations, it would literally make a lot of noise. A lepton was extremely thin. It would make a dime in our currency look thick. It was worth 1/3 of a penny. This woman had 2 lepta to her name. She would have been justified in giving neither. She certainly would have been justified by giving 50% of what she had and just keeping the second lepton to herself. But she put both of them in. And Jesus, there in the temple, people watching with the apostles for teaching purposes, Jesus noted her contribution more than all the others. God saw her generosity. Generosity is not just giving something. It's about what we retain, in a sense. She would have been praiseworthy if she had given just one lepton, because she had so little. But because of her extraordinary love for God and her trust in his providence, she put both in. And God noticed. Sisters, we're all here because we have given our lives to God. We have lots of sacrifices over the course of each day in which we're generously trying to stay awake at Mass, or we're making another phone call to a person who's very difficult, or whatever. Some of the times when we do that small little thing, that second lepton, that God notices that generosity even more than all the rest. Because we're given to the ultimate in imitation of him who gives himself beyond the second lepton to his last drop of blood. This spirituality of the second lepton is the type of spirituality that Jesus himself wants to encourage by this scene. The apostles themselves had been given a lot to the Lord. But they hadn't yet been given all, precisely because they hadn't trusted in him fully, like this widow trusted in God. So he's challenging them to trust more so that they'd be able to give more, knowing that God is never outdone and that he rewards 100-fold for everything that we do. at the end of time, it's likely that if we're judged by the Lord fit to go with the sheep on his right, that he's going to thank us most, not for some of the more noteworthy things that we've done over the course of our life. Everybody else notices that generosity. But I tend to think that Jesus is going to remember those quiet little secret second lepta that we give that nobody else notices. I'm filled with hope that today Jesus is pulling aside the apostles and the saints, and he's noticing the little ways in which we're loving him. Maybe it was very difficult to get out of bed today. Maybe there's something else going on, but that generosity never escapes his notice. Today's first reading, we see what trust produces in Daniel and the three men who will be thrown into the fiery furnace, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. They were brought there in captivity to Babylon, and then all of a sudden, their ticket's punched. Because they happen to be handsome, because they happen to be bright, they were chosen to enter the school, King Nebuchadnezzar's service. It would have been easy for them to sell out, to stop trusting in the Lord, to stop being generous with the Lord. But they had clear motivations as they were chosen, that this would be a means by which they'd be able to serve God and serve their people. And so, with regard to food, which is essential in Old Testament spirituality, God wanted our appetites consecrated because he wanted to train our hungers for what mattered most. That's why fasting was such a big deal. That's why pork legislation, for example, and kosher, as we saw last week, was worth dying for. Today, Daniel says to Ashpenaz to try to give them other food, because in the midst of all that they were surrounded by, they wanted to serve the Lord. They still had their appetites fixed on what God could give. And so they were given something different than food that could have been sacrificed to idols. And they grew in wisdom and understanding because they were not in that service in order to climb in the king's favor. They were in that service precisely for the Lord. As others were being filled in many different ways by the spirituality of the Babylonian kingdom, they were still hungering for God's true wisdom. And we'll see later on in the letter this week precisely how God put that wisdom into effect. For us, we don't have to worry about eating meat sacrificed to idols. But there's a different lesson here that comes from trust in the Lord. A lot of the times the Lord does ask us to fast from what everybody is gorging on with regard, for example, to the information culture, to all the things that come through television and the radio and popular culture and all the rest of it. And sometimes we can think that we're giving up an awful lot by not staying up to speed on what the headlines are and the rest. But the Lord wants us to be filled with a different type of nourishment, trusting that this type of nourishment will help us to see things, to help everybody else live for the Lord's kingdom in the midst of any other kingdom. And that the Lord wishes to make us even stronger through doing so. Not just keeping us fit enough so that people won't notice that we're emaciated because we're not eating what the culture gives, but in fact, far more vigorous. And that's something that always shocks people, that when they find us without so many of the world's pleasures, far more joyous than anybody who drinks worldly pleasures to the dregs, that we actually become more and more wise through our pondering the Word of God than others who would be reading all pop psychology manuals that have been written in the last few years. But it requires great trust to be able to say yes to God's food as the nourishment we really want, because our deepest hungers is for what He gives. Today at this Mass, we are going to be fed by the King's own table. This is food not sacrificed to an idol, but to the King of the universe. And this is the food on which we will become strongest and wisest and most like God Himself. He gives Himself beyond the second lepton. In our Logia Latreia, the only fitting worship is to give Him everything back, knowing that that's the sacred spiral that will lead us to the unending feast of the King.